Hare Krishna Maharaj. So recently we heard the Leela where Radharani tells one of the manjaris to go back and fetch a piece of cloth that she'd left back at her house. So Radharani, you know, tells one of the manjaris to go back to her house to fetch a piece of cloth. So I'm just wondering about the concept. We know the gopis experience the parakiya rasa. So when they're in the company of Krishna, they've experienced some sense of like separation. So with the manjaris, when they're with Radharani or when they're separate from her, is there some like difference there, like as well? Like, do they feel a heightened experience of pleasure and bliss in the association with Radharani, or is it more, you know, like when they're performing the instructions of Radharani, or how does it work with the manjaris with Radharani? Okay, so I just want to know exactly how the manjaris feel with Radharani. Is there a heightened level of pleasure and bliss in the association of Radharani, or like when they're performing the instructions of Radharani?
Let me see if you know, I understand your question. I'll say it. When the manjaris are directly associating with Radharani and serving her in many intimate ways, they feel and have different feelings and experiences. And then when Radharani gives them some order, when they have to go somewhere, they have to leave Radharani's company and go somewhere on an errand or to carry a message or to collect some forgotten clothing and a kunja, a necklace or a choli or whatever. When they leave Radharani's direct association, they go anywhere here or there doing different services for her pleasure. Is there a difference in the manjari's degree of bliss or degree of happiness? Is that what you're saying? Well, first of all, as our acharyas, they explained to us that the nature of the manjaris is that they're bhav taratmya with Radharani. Bhav taratmya. That means that their very being, that Radharani, whatever bhava means feelings, sentiments, loving experiences, and bliss and joy, whatever bliss and joy and love that Radharani is experiencing, then that same bliss and joy comes into the manjaris. So if Radharani is in Yavat, and let's say she's in Yavat and it's early in the morning, and she sends the manjari, says, "Listen, Navadasi, you go to Radhakund, and you make arrangements for my coming there to meet Krishna. You go and you meet with Brinda Devi and the Van Devis, and you go to the Lita's Kunj and make it very nice and get it all decorated. And there's one particular place with flower bed. I want to meet with Krishna there." Okay, so this is the plan, early morning plan. So then the mantri goes, advance party before Radharani. And all the other sakis may go, some helper. And they're fixing up this kunja for Radharani to come. Now back in Yavat, Chatila, she usually allows Radharani to go out on the pretext of Surya Puja. That's the pretext to do Surya Puja, by which she is allowed out of the house. Because Jatila thinks that Radharani's going to Suryakunda to do Surya Puja, to pray to Suryadev, to bless her husband with long, healthy life and good strength. So then she lets her go. But somehow Jatila heard that Radharani's meeting with Krishna at Radhakund. So then she changed her mind. So she told Radharani, she said, "Listen, I changed my mind. Today you're not going. You're not going for Surya Puja. You can just do Surya Puja here in the village, because even in Yavat there's maybe some small temple, but this is a main temple, Surya Kund. That's why she would go there. Because King Brishabhanu is a worshiper of Suryadev. So even in his palace, he must have had some deity of Suryadev right in his palace. But Surya Kund is a very special deity. And that's even sometimes Jatila would say to Radharani, "Oh, Radharani, why do you go all the way to Surya Kund to worship Suryadev? Your father has a Surya Murti in Barsana, and Yavat and Barsana are very close, and it's very far to Surya Kund." "No, no, that's a very ancient deity, you know, old deities. I heard from Madan Gopal that old deities have a lot of power." Remember? So this, all deities have a lot of power. So we have to go there because I really want to get the blessings for Abhimanyu. Because in the old days, the village ladies, they would always do many, many deva and devi pujas for the benefit of their children and for the benefit of their husbands. They want their husbands to be healthy. They want them to live long. They want them to be strong because it also benefits them. So it's mutual benefit. Although it sounds almost selfish, but they do the puja, and the husbands encourage them to do puja while they're busy with the cows and in the fields, keeps the wives busy. You know, do your housework and then go do some puja so I get some benefit because I don't have time to do puja. So this is the background, the cultural background of Radharani's daily Surya Puja. So this one day she said, no, forget it. You do puja, monastic puja today. I'm not letting you out of the house. So Radharani says, okay. So she goes to her room. And she closed the door, she starts crying. She's very unhappy. So now the Manjari is 40 kilometers away in Lalita's Kunj at Radhakund. And she's decorating per Radharani's instruction. She's making very beautiful flower bed, exactly as Radharani described. Make with Mogra, first make a layer of Mogra flowers, you know, like one, like so high, and then cover that with rose petals and like all these different ideas Radharani is giving to make a very beautiful and fragrant and enjoyable flower bed to serve Krishna. So the Manjari is there. But as soon as Radharani started her mood, she was very excited and happy to be leaving for puja. Then she got blocked by her mother-in-law and prohibited by Chitila. Then her mood changed. She became unhappy. Radharani's crying. The Manjari's mood also changed. And she became unhappy and she started crying. So whether the Manjaris are right next to Radharani, there's a verse in Radharasunani that says, Nitya Parshwe, Chatur Parichanani. Chatur means very expert and clever. I will always be standing by your side, O Radharani, Nitya Parshwe, and Chatur Parichanani. I will always be standing by your side, right by your side, Radharani, ready to render all kinds of different services. So this is one shloka like this. So whether the Manjaris are standing right beside Radharani or whether they're 40 kilometers away carrying a message to Krishna or spying on Krishna or seeing, looking, where is Chandravali or whatever, doing different sevas, they always, in Radharani's heart, they have pranaya. Radharani's always in their heart and they're always in the heart of Radharani. It's like a telepathy. Like, you know, people communicate by minds. Sometimes one brother's in England, one twin brother's in England, another twin brother's in Mayapur. And then the twin brother in Mayapur, he thinks, oh, I feel some pain. I think my brother's in difficulty. And then he calls London and he says, oh, your brother's in the hospital. I said, oh, how it happened? Even in this plane, even now in this world, we have what's called mental telepathy. Yeah. People connecting with each other, visually seeing or understanding each other's experiences or moods or situations can happen. What to speak of Radharani and the Manjaris? And there's Sachidananda Deha, Sachidananda Asirasarup. So there's no question of difference in feeling. They don't have a separate agenda. The Manjari's hearts are just the chalkboard for Radharani. Mm. You know, whatever written on her heart, whatever is written on her heart is written on their hearts. So they feel whatever Radharani feels. That's why their bhava, they're in Madhurya Rati, because they're assisting the amorous, loving intimacies of Radha and Krishna. They serve them. But their mood is bhavalas rati. Bhavalas rati means their loving mood, rati, loving attachment, is ulas. It's delighted and it expands and increases with the bhavas of Radharani. When her mahabhava, when her bhavas rise, their bhava rises. However she, her heart moves, their hearts move, because there's no difference. The Manjaris are so intimate and so tightly connected with Radharani. Sometimes the analogies are used, they say they're like the shadow of Radharani. You can't separate your shadow from your form. So there's not really any difference in feelings, because the only feelings they know are the feelings of Radharani. It's not like Radharani has one set of... Radharani's feeling one way and they're feeling another way. Radharani's feeling one degree of happiness and Manjaris are feeling another way. There's no bait. Bait means difference. That's a very highest level of melting together of minds and hearts. That's a oneness of mind and heart. There's no separation, even though there's separation of space or time. Just like a man and woman, they may be married, they're married, and if they genuinely or really what they call love each other, then no matter how much space is there, he's in another country or whatever, he or she will not, their love won't diminish any. It will be the same. It may increase. So as far as the Mundris go, their love doesn't increase, doesn't wane or expand independently of Radharani. If Radharani's love grows, their love grows. And if Radharani's love wanes, their love wanes. Because they're Bhav. They're Bhav Tadatmya. Bhav means Mahabhav. Mahabhav Sarupini. They're one with the Mahabhav of Radharani. Because it's just like, what's it, wherever your right arm is, your left arm is. You can't, they have to be together. So the Mantris are Radharani's heart, they're Radharani's pran. So they're one with mind and one with heart with Radharani.